Well, good day to you. It's Joel with the King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Thanks for being here on the Carlos Whitaker podcast. What's going on? It is early in the morning for me, and I'm looking at myself in my camera thinking, oh, you know what? This is the episode I'm hoping people aren't watching on Spotify or YouTube, just listening in their ears, because I look rough. Wow. You know, something happened when I turned 50. Things just started drooping and wrinkling. And here we are. I'm in all my glory for you. Well, good day. This is an episode I've been looking forward to for a long time. I would actually say years. Years. Why? Well, because on today's episode of the Carlos Whitaker podcast, we've got my great friend and creator, discoverer, OG of, I believe, a statement that has changed my life and many others. Woo, big statement here. You know, I met Mike Ashcraft on a mission trip. Mike, were we on a mission trip? We dive into it. We were in India, and this was back when I was doing music. This was a long time ago. And we became fast friends. And I'll just never forget the first time I heard him say, I don't stand on issues, I walk with people. I was like, it literally blew me away. And since then, that has been my go-to phrase. I wrote about Mike in my latest book, How to Human. We've been talking about don't stand on issues, walk with people, what that means, on my Instagram for years, mostly probably since 2020. And today I thought, let's invite the man that created that phrase and ask him where it came from, as he has kind of handed the baton, to be honest with you, to the Insta Familia, and allowed us to run with it. And then who knows where that phrase is going now. I know it's on a lot of your torsos because you bought a t-shirt with it on there. And so I'm grateful for that. But Mike is just one of the wisest. I mean, you think that don't stand on issues, walk with people blows your mind. Wait till you hear some of the bombs he drops in this interview. You know, I was talking to Whitney from Wisconsin after the interview. She's like, I was ready to get in my car and drive and join his church. I don't know how far it's going to be. I was like, hey, you live in Nashville. This is probably take like 10 hours to get there. But she's pumped. And can I just let those of you that, you know, aren't into church and or have been wounded by the church and or just you're just not into it. I want to let you know that you may have found the pastor that you can trust again. Friends and familia, if you would do me a favor and welcome to the Carlos Whitaker podcast, your new favorite pastor, Mike Ashcraft. All right, familia, I am hanging out here with the OG. I don't have a lot of pastor friends, Mike, that I can call OGs that are still around, that still hang out, that still answer my texts. And you are one of them. Mike, say hey to the Carlos Whitaker podcast audience.
Hello, Carlos Whitaker podcast audience. It's great to be here. Nice to meet all of you guys.
Yes. We first connected. This may be wrong. My first memory of us hanging out was, I feel like it was in India.
This
is correct. It was.
Yeah. Okay. So I'd heard of you. I'd followed music and I'd read your blog. And one of my buddies said, hey, Los Wit School. I was like, Carlos, like Los Wit? And he's like, yeah. So that was our first meeting, was heading to India.
You just said something that a lot of people have that just shook a lot of people. You said blog and music. And so, you know, here's the thing, just for everyone that's listening. Yes. At one point, Mike and I are old enough to remember we had these things called blogs. Mm. It was before social media. And, you know, we would just write our thoughts and people would comment. It was Instagram before Instagram.
Right. Yep. That's exactly what it was. I still have one, actually.
Yeah. Good for you, bro. Do not let the blog die. And then music. Yeah. You know, I was doing music full time, at that point. And, you know, and now I find myself in way different spaces and I find you in, oh man, it is just so encouraging to me to see, pastors that are, you know, that are on the long road of obedience, man. Like I didn't write this down to ask you, but I would love to ask you about that. So you pastor Port City Church.
Yep.
And tell us a little bit about, you know, just the fact that you did you plant that church?
We did. Yep.
Okay.
In 99.
How long ago?
25 years. Almost 25 years ago.
25 years. Mike, you have been a pastor pastoring the same people. You changed diapers and now you're doing weddings and probably do it. Talk to us a little bit about this long road of obedience.
Yeah. It's honestly my mantra, you know, and I was, in the ministry, I was a youth pastor and I loved the every 6 year turnover. And we started Port City Church. You know, I really felt like that I was at this conference. We were training to be church planters, which I don't really consider myself a church planter, but, we were at this conference and this guy said, Mike, you're going to be a catalytic church planter. You're going to be used to plant churches every couple of years. And, I just remember thinking, I was a year into this and I'm like, I can't imagine trying to do this again a year from now. Cause this is, you know, this is not working out yet. And I remember like almost hearing God say to me, you know, and it comes from that quote, right? It's the book titled by Eugene Peterson. I think it's actually Friedrich Nietzsche who said it, that, you know, the key is a long obedience in the same direction.
Yeah.
And I just resolved that would be my life. And, it's interesting because part of it is, you know, my goal after the first 3 years is like, if I can get through 3 years without dying, that'll be a win. So I did that.
Yeah.
And you know, what they don't tell you is like, you know, years 15, you know, years 10 through 12, 10 through 15 are really hard, but years 15 through 20 are even harder. And it just, you know, so there were so many things that you see and learn about being somewhere. I'm not the same person that I was. You know, there's people on our staff who've been here 20 years and we've known each other for that long, worked together that long. And we're not the same people. And, and, you know, thankfully we've grown. We love each other deeply. But we can't kid each other like, oh, I was so cool back then. I said, no, you weren't. I was with you. We know who you were. And we've just been able to, I want to say fumble along because we've done some things really well and we've made some big mistakes, but you do it and you work through it over a long period of time. And it really has started to create a deep foundation of loyalty and what I think is beauty and what's been happening here in the last 4 or 5 years.
People sometimes, I just think you say you have staff members that have worked with you over 20 years.
We've got two over 20 and then several at 15 plus.
So, I mean, that's literally unheard of. And why have they stayed?
Maybe they can't get a job anywhere else. No, I mean, it's been something, you know, I don't know. It's a great question, Carlos. You know, when I think about what's happened at Port City, it's been this, you know, my own journey has evolved, my own faith. And I tell my congregation, our congregation all the time, I'm so grateful that I've been able to be here because I've been able to learn. I honestly felt like that when, you know, when I was like 30, 35 years old, I would have all my theology worked out and I would be like a Bible gunslinger, name an issue and I could pull out a Bible verse and, you know, pick it apart. And then I would just be executing on what I'd learned.
Yeah.
And, what happened was, you know, the really trying to understand the gospel and what Jesus wanted to do, it just destroyed all these boxes that I had built. Hmm. And, it became something beautiful. Like, you know, even in the last 5 years, what has happened in my own pursuit, it's just opened up a world that I did not know existed, you know, a decade and a half ago.
What's that world?
It's the beauty of redemption, like the hope of redemption. It's so funny because I part of what's happened after 2020 is people aren't thinking the world is going to get better, right? Used to people said, oh, the world's going to be better. It's like, yeah, we're not really sure it's going to get a lot better. And yet the whole idea is that even though it doesn't have to be getting better and we have something else that we see and believe. And it's the idea that God is using us to bring about the redemption of all things. His intention is to bring renewal to every part of the world and our lives and each other. And he's done this, you know, in Christ, and we get to move into that. And as we learn that way, we get to actually work towards the reality of that happening in, you know, part of it here in this world, but then fully and finally when he returns and makes everything right, you know, forever. So that's what gets me up in the morning.
Well, and we get to step into his process. We get to step into the hope and the renewal that he is, as opposed to, again, you're talking about 35-year-old Mike, and I think of 35-year-old Carlos, and I think, oh no, actually, God sent me here to renew.
Right.
God said, you know, there's such a stark difference in that, you know? And so I feel like that is, wow, what a beautiful way to explain, maybe for people that are exhausted from trying to renew the world themselves.
Yeah. You know, all we have to do, I mean, it's so funny. I told this, I believe that the things that we do, the acts, the love that we give, the kindness that we avail to other people. And I use the definition for love as you breathe worth and value into the soul of another. Like you see something in them and you breathe that into them. And that's what God's love is. It comes through us and out. And you're actually creating something. You're causing something to be real that might not have been as real before. And that's what I'm saying. So every time we bring people together and we connect with God and we connect with one another, every time we offer ourselves on behalf of another person, something gets created that I think is a prelude to this new creation that has actually been made available to us.
Did you know that Americans spend an average of 90% of their time indoors and take about 20,000 breaths a day? The indoor air that we breathe is 2 to 5 times more polluted than the outdoor air, and in some cases up to 100 times more polluted, according to the EPA. So what in the world is the solution? Well, one solution is get outside, people, but the second solution is an incredible air purifying system called the Air Doctor. Air Doctor filters out 99.99%. I wonder what that last little 0.00001% is. But anyway, it filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes pollutants such as allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria. All right. So listen, here's the offer for the Carlos Whitaker podcast listeners. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day breathe easy money back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus the shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code HUMANHOPE. You'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers, exclusive to podcast customers. You will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code HUMANHOPE. Are y'all looking for the perfect teammate to come alongside you in your business, your company, whatever it may be? Can I tell you something? Whether you're a pressure washer of driveways, whether you're a marketing executive, whether you're what's another job, a tire changer outer? You can find your next hire at Indeed.com. Indeed takes all the guesswork out of you finding your next employee, so you don't have to do all the hard work. Indeed does it for you. If you need to hire, Indeed does it because they have over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data. That's a lot of people heading over to Indeed. You don't have to deal with all that stuff anymore. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivered the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. So quit going to all the other job sites. Just go over to Indeed instead. One of the things I love about Indeed is, like, you know, I wouldn't call it AI, but maybe you can call it AI, but like they're the engine that delivers you all of these incredible applicants. And they're always so perfect. Sometimes I'll go over to Indeed just to be like, one day I'd love to hire this version of person for my little company. And bam, I start to see faces and I'm like, maybe I can do it now. Indeed matches you right. Okay, so listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/humanhope. Just go to Indeed.com/humanhope right now and support our show by saying you heard about it on this podcast. Indeed.com indeed.com/human hope. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Breathe worth and value into the soul of another. Well, unfortunately, looks like Mike has just created the next t-shirt. I mean, come on, dude. That is glorious. That is so good. You're just such a good teacher. You always have been. I appreciate that. You know, speaking of 2020, I think it may have been 2020, the first time that the Mike Ashcroft quote came out of my mouth in a very contentious year. 2020 came out and I started, you know, Mike, I mean, my story was I was kind of evangelical mega church favorite child as far as like I was leading worship and I was, you know, invited to all these spaces. And then 2020 came and I started to speak on things of justice and things of race. And wow, like people just took off and they let me know that, well, I'm no longer a part of your tribe and all these things. And something that you said, and at some point in our friendship, that you don't stand on issues, you walk with people. I wanted to dig my heels in the dirt and I wanted to just, and not only wanted to, I did this for a few months. I dug my heels in the dirt and I was like, oh, okay, here we go. Wartime. Let's do this. This is it. I'm right. Let's go. And then I just remember you saying that. And it has, that is obviously a phrase that has slowly enveloped literally every facet of who I am. Yeah. It's what I think about when I have conversations with people. It's what I think about when I talk to my dad. Yep. It's what I think of, like, it just is. I want you to take us back to where that phrase came from and how, you know, and what it means to you.
I mean, the phrase came around somewhere around 2018, 2019 is when I think we may have used it before then. But when I originally started thinking about this was my own collision happened. I grew up kind of like you did, very conservative circles. You know, and just you had this perspective of social justice. I mean, I remember being in, I won't tell you at school, but I was in a seminary and they were talking about like people who value the social gospel don't really believe the scriptures. That's what I thought until I started reading the Bible, right? You know, and you realize they're deeply connected. And, but I remember, you know, it had to do with divorce. And I was doing this paper. I was in seminary and I wrote this paper about divorce. And I'm just really conflicted because it seems that the divorce is so terrible. I grew up in a denomination that didn't allow people who are divorced to participate. And, but I had youth group volunteers who were in their second marriages and they were like godly and they loved, and it just was, it conflicted. And I remember going, knowing this person and their story, and I couldn't have articulated it 23, 24 years old, but
sure.
But I knew that knowing a person made me think differently about some issue that I thought I had figured out. Yeah. And that just kind of stuck with me over the years. So then when it came to all the hot topic issues, whether it was racial issues or issues of sexuality, you know, our phrase just became, well, tell me a name and tell me a story. You know, tell me who you know. And,
I'm sorry. Who would you say that to?
Oh, people would come up to me and ask me, like, tell me what you think about this. Tell me, Mike, what do you think about this issue? Where do you stand on this issue? And I would say, well, because usually there's a loaded question, right? They're either wanting to know, do you hold a traditional view? Cause that's what I'm looking for. Or do you hate a particular group of people? Yeah. And so I'm like, can you tell me more? And I usually would ask them, tell me a name and tell me a story. Who are you talking about? And then we can have a conversation.
Cause that's always there. There's always something.
Right. I want to know. It's just anybody comes up and says, hey, Carlos, you know, tell me that there's always some scenario they have in their mind that they're trying to figure out what they're asking you. And out of that, when it came time, and I personally started investing in relationships with people who were, you know, struggle with same-sex attraction or consider themselves gay. I reached out and became friends with minorities and different, you know, people that I was not normally in circles with, people that I saw differently, even politically. And, you know, rather than, it was so funny because we always ask the question with such condescension, like, how can you think like that? And it's not a question. I said, what if you turn that into a question? You said, how can you think like that? And you just reframe it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, most people I found, they weren't dumb and they didn't come to those conclusions. You're right. Some people did, but a lot of times they were well thought out. And I found, okay, I can learn from this and understand this. And, in some ways, you know, it didn't change what I believed about certain things, but it certainly changed my approach and it allowed me to, see things that I just never saw. or would not have seen. And so then it turned into like, when people asked me at the church, I started doing this publicly, because everybody wanted to know where you stand on a particular issue, on abortion or on whatever it is. And I'm like, we don't stand on issues. We walk with people. That's our mission, is to walk with people. Yeah. And which means you have to extend a hand to them. You have to know their name, which is interesting. You know, when all the racial tension went down to 2020, like the whole thing was say their name. And so I did, I wrote their names in my journal. Because it was a way for me to say, this probably isn't what I'm hearing. There's just probably more to this. Yeah. And again, it wasn't to try to take a political stance. It was for me to try to enter into a way that I can make sense of things and then lead our church, through what would be just absolute chaos, 2020, 2021, and really 2022.
And 2024 and 2025.
It's about to re-up again. I started saying this too, Carlos. I said, I always tell our congregation, I said, the left and the right are two sides of the same coin in the wrong system. And if you can get your head around that, you won't be bent out of shape all the time when systems do what systems do. Uh-huh. And you can then figure out, because what Jesus ultimately was asking us or teaching us is to live under a different rule, which by definition is going to subvert. It's not to be anarchist, but it is to be subversive in the way we approach. We're salt and we're light and we're yeast. These things are they work within and throughout various places and systems in this case.
Oh my gosh, dude. You are now the podcast pastor because I'm just going to keep having you on here because the way you're unpacking this, so do this for me. So now that's amazing. Two sides of the same coin in the wrong system. You've got people in your church or people that are listening have people in their families that when they come to them and when they're like, no, this is the way, this is what the Bible says, this is, you're wrong. I think the question I get from a lot of people is like, well, Carlos, how do I walk with people that don't want to walk with me?
There's not a real simple answer. We did lose a number of people, and it wasn't because we never said like, well, if you don't like what we're saying, you can go do something else. It was funny during 2020, whenever I got an email, I called everybody because we didn't have anything else to do, right? You're in your office. You can't, go to meetings. You can't have church, you can't have services. So anytime I got an email, I would just call them and I would, ask them. And what I usually would say to them, especially as people who had been in our church for years, and they're like, you sound like because we made people wear masks. Like, look, we're doing the best we can. It's not, people say, well, it's hard. It's not hard. It's impossible. Like, we don't know what's true. There's no way to get it. Right. And so what I'd always have, I said, do you trust me?
Mm.
And if you trust me, then you have to at least acknowledge that I don't have an agenda in this other than to say, we've got a job to do as a church and we can't let this other stuff stop us from doing it. If we need to put a mask on to do what we're supposed to do, then that's a small sacrifice to pay. And I have no other agenda than that. We got too many things that we're supposed to be doing. Yeah. And, one of the things we talked about is, and even the role of the church, and I started thinking, what is the role of the church? We have thought that the role of the church is to eliminate the chaos.
Mm.
And if we can just elect the right people, get the right policies, we'll eliminate all the chaos. But the world is broken. And what we decided was that our job is to learn how to navigate the chaos faithfully and full of hope. So we would say that no matter what is thrown our way, we're not going to lose faith in what Jesus has asked us to do. And we're never going to lose hope. We're not going to be cynical. Wow. We're not going to give into that. Where you just teach towards those things all the time.
People are listening to this going like, where is his church? How far is it from my house? Where are you guys?
We're in Wilmington, North Carolina, tucked down on the southeast corner of North Carolina, far south, as far east as you can get, right on the beach. Not a bad place to live.
It is not a bad place to live. It is a beautiful space, and you're just doing it, man. Thanks. You're doing it. You're living it. You're a light. I think when I came to speak at your church, I mean, this may have been five years ago. I think Heather came with me. I think it was just you. Oh, was it just me? But I just remember, I think that was right around the time I wanted to become a fisherman, and I just thought I need to move down here and fish for reds, on all the flats. Like it's just a beautiful part of, what would you say is next for Port City? Like you know, when you, you know, as you're the leader and you're like, okay, this is, we've gotten to this place in 2024. Yeah. We've kind of navigated the chaos. Yeah. We didn't, you know, end the chaos. What's next for the people that are with you on this journey?
You know what? We've been talking about this for a long time, and I don't, this is in the very developmental stages, but I've been obsessed for about 9 years with the metrics. Like, how do you measure the health of a church spiritual formation? And it's so funny. You go to any conference or whatever, and if you ask, if people ask you about your church, they want to know two things. They want to know, you know, how big is it and how much money? Yep. What's your budget? Yep. Which are not unimportant. They just don't tell a whole lot of the story. And so what we've been saying is, what if instead of a church being measured by the size, that she was measured by her beauty and started to talk about things in narrative form? So we're doing a lot of things now where we're saying, what are we seeing in the lives of people that we feel like this represents what we are supposed to be about?
Yeah.
And we're collecting those stories and we're talking about those stories. And what we've really tried to do is we've retooled our entire church so that everything is personal. We use the phrase here, you have to get personal, you have to get local. To deal with anything effectively, you have to get personal, you have to get local. And so personal means when you come in, you don't just sign up for a class or website. You go talk to someone and tell me your story and how can we help you? And our posture is always that. So what we've now really trying to understand is, what does it look like to disciple people in the way of Jesus such that we become this kind of place? Part of my own journey was, I used to think as a pastor, if I can help you and then you can do your thing, then somehow it'll all be okay. And what I've come to believe is that without us, without the together piece, that somehow what God wants to do with his people together is far more important than what he wants to do in any one of us.
Wow.
And so that's what we're trying to teach people. What does it mean to do that? How do we actually live like that? We're a small community, a small, you know, place. So it's, these problems are finite here. And we're trying to understand how we can enter into things with people in ways that are going to bring about what we would say are the redemptive purposes that God has intended all along.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What is the first thing that you would do if you had an extra hour in your day? I don't know, would you go on a run? Would you take a nap? Would you read a book? What would you do? Well, a lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? Let me tell you something. The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Guess what can help? Therapy can help you find what matters most to you so you can do more of that. I have benefited personally from the whole, could I say decades now? We're almost decades, okay? At least 15 years of therapy. And let me just tell you the benefits of therapy in my life. It's saved my marriage. It's propelled my business. It's done so many things I'm so grateful for. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/humanhope today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/humanhope. Eating better is so easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every single fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. Can I tell you something? My wife is out of town. She's been out of town for the last 4 days. It's just been my son and myself. And listen, I'm just going to let you know, my wife is an incredible cook, an incredible chef, and we have been left with these Factor meals. And I don't cook near as good as my wife, but I feel like I'm eating my wife's food. It is so good. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every single week. Okay? If you want to do protein, keto, calorie smart, they got all the stuff for you. 2-minute meals. Remember that. They got pancakes. They got smoothies. They got more. And remember, it's never frozen and it's flexible for your schedule. Get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every single week. Plus, you can also pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. So sign up and save. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Hey, I'm a poet, and I didn't know it. All right, this is what I want you to do. Head to factormeals.com/Carlos50 and use the code Carlos50 to get 50% off. That's code Carlos50 at factormeals.com/Carlos50 to get 50% off. You know, and the way that he intended it, when you look at the life of Jesus, yeah. I go back to where you get an email and you called the person. Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure probably some of them were like, oh crap. Mike's number's on my phone. Right. I really wanted him to write me back so that I could use my thumbs to write him back. And now I've got to use my breath and see his eyeballs and, you know, and do this.
You'll be surprised at the responses.
Oh, bro. I can only, well, so this is, you know, I do feel like, you know, you have rubbed off on me in so many ways. One of the things that I do, I didn't know you did that, but one of the things that I do, and this is almost daily now, you know, it depends if there's what I'm talking about on right. Instagram, right? If I'm walking with people and not standing on issues, people actually, as much as that phrase written across your chest that you came up with, people love to say because it just feels so good to say it. Bro, is it hard to live out, right? it's hard to live out. So, how I do the Mike Ashcroft, I'll call it, is when people, you know, vomit in my DMs and they're like, you, whatever. I open up my camera.
Oh, wow.
And I hit record.
Yeah.
These are strangers, right? These are people that are just either passing through Insta Familia land or have been there for a while and have waited until this moment that they're going to let me have it. And I go, hey, before we finish this conversation, I just wanted you to see me. And I'm looking at my phone, straight in the camera, and I was like, I just want you to know that, like, I see you, and I see you're frustrated, and I'm grateful that you trust me enough to be frustrated. So I'm going to stop the video now, and I'm going to type again, but I just want you to see me. And Mike, 9 times out of 10, the rage goes from 100 to 1. Yeah. And because now they're speaking to somebody with breath and skin and somebody that they have trusted before. Do you trust me? They've trusted me for a long time, and now there's something in the way of that trust. And so, okay,
let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. I just think that more and more people can, you know, take that from what you've done and apply it to themselves.
And it's hard, you know, it is hard, or it gets hard, especially in your platform. It's hard, you know, as a pastor, it's even hard with a larger church, you know, but I try to be, as available, try to make sure our staff, like we are, and it's, I've learned this from our staff, and this is not just me, but just the sense of us making sure that we want to be personal. We want to make sure that we can really connect and help every person who God entrusts with us. And that's our posture. Yeah. And we just work towards that.
One of the things, Mike, that I have watched you in your journey, a fraction on the over the road ahead, like half a mile ahead for me, is walking with your parents and walking through sickness, walking through death, walking through. And as people know, my dad is going, you know, in the late stages of dementia. I'm trying to help my mom. We were just chatting right before we started recording about, you know, the stage that you just went through with your parents. And I would love for you to, I'm trying to bring as much, I don't know what the word is, like just as many eyeballs to the fact that every single human that is listening to this at some point is going to have to take care of somebody. Yeah. Is going to have to caretake. What was that like for you? And what did that, what did God grow in you through the season, the late seasons with your parents? Man.
Yeah. So you're speaking of I lost both my parents last year. My dad, my mom had dementia that was, actually diagnosed as Alzheimer's, and my dad passed away of a heart attack, essentially taking care of her.
Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, we're about 6.5, 7 months apart, and it felt like one event. So we're still, you know, we're not quite a year, from when my dad passed away. But, watching my dad care for my mom was, you know, it's humbling because here's a man who had a lot of things he wanted to do. And most of the things that he dreamed of doing in retirement just got, those dreams got obliterated.
Wow.
And he loved my mom and cared for her. And, you know, I had to resolve because sometimes it gets hard because you're trying to do things, you're busy and you got things and you're trying to go in. And my parents lived about 25 minutes from me.
Yeah.
And so we'd go over there to help with different things, but mostly just to be there with him. And, you know, you kind of learn, I don't know, I think maybe the word is dignity, that people don't always have to perform in order to be worthy of dignity.
Wow.
And, you know, because as we age, I think that's what we're fearful of, that we won't have the same prowess. I don't have the same prowess I had when I was, you know, 25 years old.
Yeah.
And, that's going to diminish over time. And, you know, I think so with my parents, what I was able to do is to try to say, how can I bring dignity to my mom and dad today?
Yeah.
And then, you know, when my dad passed away suddenly, you know, you're there with my mom and it was just a really tough season. And you know, my wife was, to be honest, she was the hero. She was the one who did most of the heavy lifting and was so careful with both of them. But it was to be trusted and to be in those places, is extremely hard.
Yeah.
And there is no, you know, you can't say it any other way. It's right. You don't ever go, oh, I feel great doing this. It's just, it's hard. Yeah. It's hard to watch your parents decline.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it brought me a tremendous amount of gratitude to find those sweet moments. And you got to find them because sometimes it was it was just a little glimpse. You're like, oh, there she is. And I'm glad I got to be here for that today. Or just to say, Mom, I came by to tell you I love you. And, things like that, you know, so I haven't quite processed all that yet, but if you're going through that, it's just a hard thing and you've got to get support around it. We had a lot of people who supported us during that time.
Yeah. You texted me, I think it may have been right after your mom had passed away, I think. And you texted me, you know, watching my dad, you're watching me watch my dad. And, you know, and I try to tell people it is it's those small moments. My dad will turn to my mom and ask, who was that when I walk out of the room? But then I'll walk in the next morning and randomly he's like, oh, hello, mijo, which is son in Spanish. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What, you know, like, thank you, Lord. And then I just sit in it and I'm like, oh, it's open for a moment. There's a portal open and I'm just going to sit in it for a second. And thank you for sharing that. I just, you know, I know that, we're walking similar journeys in that. And a lot of people are, there's a lot of people. When I started posting about my dad, or like, nobody's talking about this, I felt so alone. Thank you so much for talking about it.
You find that, that's what I found. My parents or my mom. And there are a lot of people who had a lot worse. You know, I try not to, you don't ever want to scale your suffering because if it's hard for you, it's hard. But, you know, my mom lived just maybe a couple of years and really only a few months when it really had declined. You know, my prayer was, and I was just talking to a friend today and he was like, you know, his mom's going through a similar thing. He said, how do you pray? I was like, because part of you know, my mom didn't want to, she would tell me, you know, the nurses called me one night and said, your mom is suicidal. I said, no, she's not. She wants to be with my dad. I can tell you that's what she wants. And she made that very clear to me. But part of it was, you know, you don't want to, so I said, Lord, would you just be merciful? Would you be merciful to my mom? And you know, we will walk through whatever you lead, but would you be merciful? And he is. And that's what we found. Yeah. And, when my mom passed, it was really, we were fortunate we got to be with her and she knew who we were for the most part all the way up to the end.
Really?
So it was, we never lost that. And, but I just remember having this sense of gratitude, you know, I'm just so grateful that we got to be there with her and that and I had the parents that I had, you know, so what's your, you know, that's what we get.
Yeah. That's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing everything, man. Thank you for sharing your life with me. Thank you for your friendship. Yeah. Thank you for your mentorship. Just thank you for being you. You are going to be, I can already tell, a gift to so many people that are listening to this, man. And I'm probably going to listen to this again tomorrow just because there was so much good stuff. And so listen, if people want to, can people listen to your messages?
Can.
Are those things?
Yeah,
available?
It's on YouTube channel, the Port City Community Church YouTube channel. And it's on, we post on our Instagram platforms and mine as well. So all those are available. And I just want to say to you, Carlos, you know, you've done just a really good job of taking this idea and really building it. I mean, even things like I was telling you before we started, you know, I was watching one of your videos about it and it just, the nuance and the fact that people appreciate that this is, it's not a gimmick and it's not a slogan. Yeah. It's a call. And I think you've given that level of both practice and also a practical application for people because it is hard to you have to be patient with people. People have to be patient with me. And, you know, I don't know if it's because you get older, you maybe stop being so nutty. I mean, I guess there's cases against that too, but I think what Jesus really forms into us is a kind of a sense of there's something more important going on. If we can just find that and learn how to call that out of one another and see that in one another. And that's, you know, part of what your book's about, right? To see humans, you see people as people and the dignity and worth that they're due because they're image bearers. And so all that's kind of shaped me and changed me. And I continue to learn and, in our churches continuing to learn. I think that's probably the great gift is we just continue to try to say, Lord, what do you want to, how are we going to learn together? And, what do you want? What do you want for us?
So good.
Thanks.
Don't stand on issues. Walk with people. The OG originator, phrase catcher, creator, Mike Ashcraft. Right now on your screens, you guys see his beautiful smiling face. And I appreciate it. Thanks. It's changed my life.
That
phrase alone has changed my life. And bro, the definition of love, breathing hope into people's soul. Yeah. You changed something else again today. So you just keep coming up with your little one-line zingers, man. It's so good,
Thank
dude.
You.
I just love you so
Thank
much.
Thank you. Love you too, man. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Wow. You know, when Mike said, when somebody confronts you after they've been with you for a long time and you say, do you trust me? Come on, somebody. I told you. Thank you, Mike, for being exactly what I wanted you to be for the Carlos Whitaker podcast listeners. This was a very, very, very meaningful conversation to me. And so this is what I want you to do. I want all of you, everyone listening, okay? There's thousands of you, okay? So I want the thousands of you to, first of all, go follow Mike on Instagram. And you're going to be blessed. Okay. And he's got a couple books. Okay. He's got a couple books that, one's called To Be Concluded and one is called My One Word. We'll put links to those. Support him, love on him. He's a great friend, a mentor of mine, and I am grateful for the conversation. Friends, that's it. Woo. That was so good. I got something else fun coming for you next week. I'm telling you, the momentum is building. Please do me a favor. This is really helpful. If you share the podcast with the world and also follow and subscribe to the podcast, it is helpful for me. And again, when you click on the show notes and link to the partners of the podcast, that helps the podcast continue to exist. Dr. Delight, please bring it. Oh, there it is. So friends, thanks for hanging out with me on another episode of the Carlos Whitaker Podcast. We'll see you next week. Hey, drop it.